Good morning, this is Frank Sedapani with the CBS World News Roundup. El Salvador's President-elect Duarte says the message will go out to the Salvadoran death squads that their activities must cease. It's the message Duarte took to the White House this morning and will take to Capitol Hill tomorrow. John Ferrugia reports.
José Napoleón Duarte has called himself a very good lobbyist. Today at the White House and later this week on Capitol Hill, his skill will be tested. The Reagan administration has been fighting tooth and nail with Congress for emergency military aid for El Salvador, aid it says is essential to prevent a Cuban-backed guerrilla victory. $62 million is the immediate goal, and President Reagan hopes Duarte can make a credible case for its approval. Duarte is optimistic, saying that even if Congress turns him down now, he'll apply more pressure by focusing his lobbying effort directly on the American people. In an Oval Office meeting, aides say the president will not impose on Duarte preconditions for additional support. But officials say Mr. Reagan will make it clear that if Duarte expects new support, he'll have to work hard this week to sell himself and his ideas to Congress. John Ferrugia, CBS News, the White House.
This is Bruce Dunning in San Salvador. Duarte needs money, time, and cooperation, and all three are in desperately short supply. Not only has the guerrilla war been expensive, but it has also severely damaged the limited economy that El Salvador enjoys in the best of times. The lack of security in the countryside has sharply reduced agricultural production. Duarte needs enough time to demonstrate that he has the strongholds of power firmly under control, the army and the rich, both deeply suspicious of his reformist ideas. And he needs their cooperation to curb the infamous death squads allegedly directed by some powerful officers and supported by the rightist rich. Duarte does have a chance, it seems here, but he'll have to be both firm and at the same time conciliatory. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, San Salvador.
As President-elect Duarte tries to put his best foot forward in Washington, the London-based human rights group Amnesty International has issued a report assailing the human rights situation in El Salvador. It accuses the government of ordering the executions of many of the estimated 40,000 people murdered there since 1979. Amnesty International's Larry Cox says he sees no improvement at all.
The Salvadorian military and security forces are engaged in a pattern of wholesale murder of civilians from all walks of life in El Salvador. The government of El Salvador is doing very little, if anything, to try to stop this pattern. The procedures that have been set up to bring people to justice are practically non-existent.
Amnesty International says the Salvadoran justice system appears to have totally collapsed. The Arab League meeting in Tunisia has condemned what it sees as Iranian aggression and attacks on oil ships in the Persian Gulf. But Iran says it will continue to disrupt shipping in the Gulf as long as its oil exports are threatened by Iraq. The six nations that belong to the Gulf Cooperation Council say they could have a joint defense plan ready in a week. More from Alan Pizzi in Bahrain.
Shipping centers in the Persian Gulf were reported to be on alert today for more attacks on tankers and other vessels, as both Iran and Iraq threaten to keep up attacks on shipping. The threat posed by the war has heightened tension in the Gulf and brought to the fore differences among Arab nations. Saudi Arabia, the leading power in the region, has called for a stepped-up alert of the defense forces of Gulf states. A Saudi spokesman was reported as saying his country would not rule out use of its air force to help maintain security in the Gulf. Saudi Arabia told a meeting of the 21-member Arab League that the Gulf states could no longer remain idle spectators in the Iran-Iraq conflict. The moderate Gulf oil producers back Iraq against the Shiite Muslim revolution of Iran's Ayatollah Khomeini. The Arab League accused Iran of aggression following attacks against Saudi and Kuwaiti tankers last week. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, Bahrain.
In Washington, CBS News Pentagon correspondent David Martin tells us there are more than a few hints that the U.S. may be asked to play a role in the Gulf crisis.
There are contingency plans for everything from sending a squadron of our own F-15s to sending in the Marines. But right now, I think both the United States and Saudi Arabia are looking to the Saudis to do it on their own. The question is, can they?
At what point would the United States really have to assess whether or not to go in there and do something?
The first point would be a Saudi request. And I think second, we are looking for some greater repetition of the Iranian attacks on Saudi tankers and some indication that the Saudis simply are not capable of defending against those attacks by themselves.
From a military standpoint, would it be possible for the United States to achieve anything decisive in that area, or would it be a situation where they would be thwarted and could not achieve anything material?
I think it depends on what the ground rules were for U.S. involvement. If the U.S. were to launch, say, a preemptive strike against Iranian airfields, I think that would probably be pretty much the end of the Iranian Air Force. If, however, the U.S. were simply to commit itself to acting as a protector for ships going in and out of the Gulf, we could stay there for months, I suppose even years, without ever seeing an attack, and then decide that it was no longer necessary, and the day we went away would be the day they attacked.
Correspondent David Martin at the Pentagon. The dollar moved lower in the European currency markets this morning in profit-taking. The British pound sterling was higher. Concern about Mideast oil supplies tends to enhance the value of the pound. Any disruption in the Persian Gulf would make British North Sea oil all the more precious. Gold was fixed at $380.35 an ounce compared to $378.30 in New York last Friday. Indian army troops are patrolling the streets of Bombay and Diwali to put an end to fighting between Hindus and Muslims that has claimed more than 100 lives over the past 5 days. The trouble began when a Hindu leader criticized the Quran, the Muslim Bible. In Bombay, troops are guarding a nuclear research center. Soviet Nobel laureate and human rights activist Andrei Sakharov is marking his 63rd birthday and the 19th day of his latest hunger strike in a hospital. Mark Phillips reports from Moscow.
The confirmation that Andrei Sakharov is in a clinic in Gorky confirms fears that he is still on the hunger strike he began 19 days ago. Western diplomats here feel the Soviets have isolated Sakharov from his wife, Yelena Bonner, either to convince him to give up his protest or to try to force feed him. Sakharov is fasting himself to try to force Soviet authorities to let Mrs. Bonner out of the country for medical treatment in the West. The Russians continue to put all the blame for the current situation on Mrs. Bonner. They've accused her of dominating her husband and leading him down the road of anti-Sovietism. They've also indicated that criminal charges may be brought against her. It's likely the Sakharov issue will be discussed on high political levels this week. West German Foreign Minister Hans-Dietrich Genscher is in town for meetings with Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko. And it's thought Genscher will continue the protest the European Economic Community began last week. Mark Phillips, CBS News, Moscow.
10 minutes past the hour.